This Torah class is brought to you by TorahAnytime.com.
Okay, welcome everyone. We continue with Daf HaShavua. Masechta Chagiga, Daf Chav Gimel Amud Beis. Let's go back to the Gemara's question about 15 lines up from Chav Gimel Amud Aleph. The Gemara asks as follows. The Gemara is talking about Kelim Shenigmaru B'Tahara. Kelim that were completed in purity. Which means, as far as we know, when the Kelim were being made by a Chaver, and they never contracted Tumah. However, there is always this concern that an Am Haaretz spit on it while before it was completed, which was at a time that the Chaver would not necessarily guard it from it becoming susceptible to Tumah, and then it remained moist after it was Nigmara B'Tahara. So the Mishnah said it needs Tvila for Kadshim, but we don't have this concern for Chuma. Now, says the Gemara, the fact that the Mishnah says you're Toivalet, and it doesn't say you have to wait for sunset, that implies you only need Tvila and you don't need Harav Shemesh. And the Gemara says this seems to be not like Rebbe Elazar. I'm just going to say it outside. Why? Because we know that when it comes to the Paraduma, we want a dafka come out la'afuke the tzedoikim, because the tzedoikim say that whoever is involved with the paraduma has to be completely tahar, cannot be someone who became tameh, went to the mikvah, and is waiting for harav shemesh. Now we're dealing with the tube that's cut to hold and contain the ashes. So Belezer says, in that case, this tube, you're not required to be metame the kli, because the kli anyway is what we call a kli shenigmara b'tahara, and therefore there's this chash that it has the spittle of a zav, and therefore it's not required to be metame. And anyway, it's assumed to be tame, so you could just send it to the mikvah. And Rabbi Yeshua says, no, you're metame the kli, and then you send it to the mikvah. And you show that you don't that a tful yom could be involved with the ashes of the paraduma. So Gemara said, Bishlam, according to Rabbi Yeshua, that's the recognition for the tzedoikim, that's the sign for the tzedoikim, that the tzedoikim are wrong, because clearly this person was rendered tame, right? We dafkar matame the kli, and we send the kli to the mikvah, and we don't wait for harav shemesh. So that's La'afuke the tzedoikim. But according to Rebbe Elazar, that all you're dealing with are kelim shenigmara b'tahara. Now, if kelim shenigmara b'tahara do not need harav shemesh, then there's no way that we're counteracting the tzedoikim over here, because we're not being any more lenient here than we are ordinarily. But if you're going to say, so it must be that Rebbe Elazar holds that kelim shenigmara b'tahara do need harav shemesh. And over here we're Mekel, and we say, no, you don't have to wait for Harav Shemesh. So clearly Rabbi Elazar is not like our Mishnah, because our Mishnah says you don't have to wait for Harav Shemesh. And according to Rabbi Elazar, it would seem that he holds that ordinarily you do have to wait for Harav Shemesh. That's what we're up to. The Mishnah is not like Rabbi Elazar. Amar Rav. Rav said, Asa'uha Kitameh Sharetz. You know what the scenario here is? Really, I'll tell you that the Mishnah could be like Rebbe Elazar. And Rebbe Elazar, in fact, holds that Kelim Shenigmaru B'Tahara do not need Harav Shemesh. In what way do we come La'afuke the Tzedoikim? There's still a hecker for the Tzedoikim. Why? Because this tube that holds the ashes of the Paraduma, we made it, we treat it as if it touched the Sheretz. What does that mean? That a sheretz is an avat tumah, so we consider the tube a risha in the tumah, and normally something that's a risha in the tumah, that for sure needs harav shemesh. And in this case, by paraduma we're mekel la'afuke the tzedaikim. In other words, really kelim shenigmara b'tahara does not need harav shemesh. So what's the heck of it for the tzedaikim here? the heck of the tzedakim is because we're dealing with a tumah that's much more stringent than just kelim shenigmaru b'tahara. We're dealing with a tumah that we consider the tube as if it was touched by a sheretz. Says the Gemara, if that's the case, that we only consider a tube as if it was touched by a sheretz. So let's think for a moment. A sheretz is an avat tumah. The tube would then be a rishain. Then it should come out. We know a rishain is only metame oichlin umashkin. It's not metame adam v'kelim. So the person who deals with the tube should not be tame. Elameyato loy tetame adam. But now it should not be metame a person. Alama tamnya. So why do we learn in a braisa? Choytcha, the one who cuts the tube. Uma tvila, and the one who's toivelet ta'an tvila, requires tvila. Says Rashi, something that became tame by a sheretz is not an avatuma. It's a rishon l'tuma, and therefore it's not matame adam. We don't find tuma of an adam or kelim that it's only something that touched a mace, only something which is an avatuma could render a person tame. But something which is a rishon l'tuma cannot render a person tame. So if you're going to consider the tube as if it touched a sheretz, the tube is only a rishon, it should not be matame adam.
What about certain tuma derabanan that can?
What about certain tuma derabanan? That's what? A rishon?
That even a rishon could be matame derabanan.
So if it's a reshine, I guess that's a possibility. But since we don't have any evidence that this reshine latuma would be mitame adam, I guess we have a right to ask why should it be? I guess the Gemara doesn't want to suggest that. So we would sort of be shooting in the dark. We would basically saying, I guess, you know, bedoichek, we could try to say something, you know, that it's a tumah derabanan. But in general, only an avat tumah can be metame adam. Elamaya must be that this tube is considered to have become tame by a mace. Vela asua ketame mace. And therefore, it's considered a av. Right, if you touch a mace, you become an av, and therefore, if you touch an adam, you become the adam becomes a rishain. So, in other words, we're treating the tube as if it became tamei b'tamei mace. In fact, the Gemara Hachi Tibai Haza Shlishi Ushvi. Then it should require sprinkling on the third and the seventh. Now, this is a question: what should require sprinkling on the third and the seventh? The Adam, not the Adam, the Adam becomes a Rishain. L'chara means the tube. Right? Because the tube becomes a Av. So an Av needs the third on the seventh, but the Adam that touches the Av, l'chara, doesn't need to be sprinkled on the third and the seventh. So that's the Gemara's Kasha. So why don't we sprinkle we should require Hazah on the tube on the third and the seventh. Alama Tanya, why do we learn in a braisa? Choytcha, the one who cuts it, umat bila, the one who tells it, ta'an tvila, only requires immersion. Tvila in hazah, shlishi shvilai, but it doesn't require hazah. So the question is, how does this show that the tube does not require hazah? This is going on the person who touches it. Avada, the person who touches it, doesn't require hazah because he's only a rishain. But how do we see? The Bryce is asking if it's considered like the tube was touched by a mess, then the tube should need hazah. Maybe taka the tube does need hazah. The Bryce says the one who touches it doesn't. The one who touches the tube doesn't, but maybe the tube needs. So there are two ways to understand this. Either the fact that the Bryce doesn't say the tube needs implies that it doesn't need, or there's an interesting chiddush. We haven't. What's a halacha if you kill someone with a sword? So you would think the corpse is avi avos hatoma, the sword is a avatoma, and the person is a rishain. No, we say the person becomes an avatoma. There's a drasha b'chalal cherev oy b'meis. We darshan chalal hareyu k'cherev. A sword is the sword is like the corpse. There's halacha by metal that a metal instrument that touches a corpse becomes avi avos hatoma, and therefore the person who touches it becomes an avatoma. Now this does not apply by kli cheres, but there are shitas that it applies by wood. So according to the shitas that it applies by wood, you could say the Gemara is asking that since this wood is considered like it touched a mess, so the wood should be considered avi avos hatoma, and then the guy who touched the wood should be considered an avatoma, and should require tefillah on the third and the seventh. Says the Gemara, Ella, rather, we don't consider it like the tube was touched by a sharetz, and we don't consider it like the tube touched a mess. Ella asua ketame meis b'shvi shalai. It was made like a tame mace on the seventh day. What does that mean? A tame mace on the seventh day, after it was sprinkled on the third and the seventh, so now this tube either is not rendered so tame that it becomes like an avatuma, or the person who touched the wood is not considered an avatuma that it needs hazah on the third and the seventh. In other words, there's an in between geder of somebody who is a touched a mess when they made the tube like something that touched a mess and already had been sprinkled on the seventh day. So this is a new guideline, a new geder of the someone who's involved with the paraduma, that the tube is treated like it touched a mess, but it already underwent 7 days and it was sprinkled on the seventh day. So now the Gemara asks, "Ay v'hatanya me'olam lechitshu davar b'para," but we learned in a brisa they never innovated anything about the para. What does this mean? Rashi says, even though the Chachamim made many milos with the para, and they gave it many, many chumras, so that people would not be mezalzel in it. Now, the reason they made so many chumras is because on the one hand, they didn't want people to be mezalzel in the para, because we went out of our way to be mekel to show the tzedakim were wrong. But even though they were machmir, they never invented something that we don't find anywhere else. But now that we're saying that we treat the kli as if it was tamei meis on the third and on the seventh day, that's something that we don't find anywhere else. So, but we learned in a brisa, mei oilam lechitshu davar b'para. So Amar Abaye said, no, this is not what it meant, that we weren't mechadish anything by para. This is a reasonable chiddush, because it is possible that it touched a mess. It is possible that we have such a scenario. In other words, when we say that we were never mechadish anything by a tamei meis, but that by paraduma, that means we weren't mechadish anything that's unreasonable. But this is a reasonable possibility. Why is this a reasonable possibility? To treat the tube, to treat the shvecharas, as if it acquired tumah from a mess, even though it didn't, that we may have done because it's possible. But what didn't we do? We didn't do as follows. Shaloi Amru, they never said, a kardom, a hatchet, metame moishav. Is metame as a seat. Kedetanya, we learned in a braisa, we know something that could be a seat or a support could contract tumas moishav. If a zav sits on it or leans on it, it could contract tuma. So the pasuk says, Kedetanya, we learned in a braisa, v'hayoyshev ala kli. One who sits on a kli. Yachal kafa sa v'yashav aleha. Tarka v'yashav aleha. Yeitameh. I might have thought, if you turned over a container that contains a sa and sat on it, or a half a sa, three kav, tarkav is three kav, and you sat on it, I would think it's tameh. Tameh loymer v'hayoyshev ala kli. One who sits on a kli, asher yashav alav. That a zav sat on it, yitma. Misha meyuchad li yeshiva. Something that's designated for sitting, yatzazah, to the exclusion of this, sha'imrim loy, that we say to him, amoid, stand up, v'nasa melachdeinu, and let us do our work. Meaning only something which is designated for yeshiva, susceptible to tumas zav. But something which is not susceptible, something which is not designated for yeshiva, somebody just happened to sit on it, we do not say that it's susceptible to tumas zav. So that's an instance that we were not mechadesh anything by Parah Adumah. We were not mechadesh that a new type of tumas midras, of tumas moisha, for something that's not designated for yeshiva. But to say that the tube is considered as if it was touched by a mess, since that is possible, so that is not a violation of the inyan that we're not mechadesh anything by para. Rashi says, "Shloi amru kardam metame moishav kolaymar." We never gave tuma by para for a kli that's not roi l'tuma. To say a hatchet which is not miyuchad for sitting, we don't say it becomes an avatuma. In other words, if a zav sits on it. But something, let's say, regarding Parah Adumah, regarding, in the context of Parah Adumah, if a zav sits on a hatchet, we don't say, oh, it becomes tumas zav, because that's not reasonable, it's not designated for yeshiva. Yatzazeh, the Gemara said, it excludes a kli, sha'imrullah, that we say to the guy, why are you sitting on it? Amoid, get up, v'nasamachtena, we're going to use the kli. But a kli that's roi tumim kabal tumah, there's a chiddush, that even saying that didn't touch a mess, like the tube, is considered as if it touched the mess. Okay, next sugya.
Yeah, this week's parsha is Vayikra Tezvah.
Right. Gevaldik. Inyana Diyama. Veha
Yoy.
The dock's on the ball. Vayoshiva Vayikra Tezvah. Let's look that up. Vayikra Tesvav. Tesvav what?
Tesvav.
Wow, that's toward the end of the parsha. Between Chamishi and Shishi. Okay, Shkoyach. Vayter Gagangin. So the next Chumrah that's mentioned in the Mishnah is that a Kli is Mitztaref, everything that's in it. That's chumra number 7 regarding kachim, that if you touch one particle everything is tamei, but we don't apply this for chuma. So Gemara says minani mili, what's the makar? Amar of Chanin, it's a pasuk, the Amar Akra, kaf achas asara zahav mleyak teres, 1 spoon 10 gold full of keteres. Why does it say kaf achas? Hakosov asoy lechomash bekaf achas. The Torah renders everything within the spoon one. Masa Rav Kahana. Rav Kahana asked, no, it can't be a pasuk. It can't be the makar of this din by kodshim that everything in the spoon is considered one comes from a pasuk, because it says, Hoysif Rabbi Akiva. Rabbi Akiva added. What is this going on? It's a Mishnah in Idyos. The Reisha of the Mishnah said that Shemem Maseira was made regarding the ashes of the Paraduma, that if something touched part of it, then the rest of the ashes are Tamei. Rashi says, Reisha Katani. The Reisha of this Mishnah, Idyos, is Reb Shimon testified on the Efer of the Chatos, that Tumah touched part of it, so the whole thing is pasul. And Rabbi Kiva added that when it comes to flour of kachim, ketoires, levoina, gecholim, that if a tful yom touches part of it, pasul is kulay, the whole thing is pasul. Now clearly, Rabbi Kiva's din is derabanan. Rashi says on the three lines in the bottom, "V'hach eidos midrabanan." Now the Rashi before says even though these things are not food, and normally only food becomes tameh, because of chivas hakodesh, because it's so holy, so that renders it susceptible to become tameh. And therefore, pasal es kulan, because the kli is mitzarf all of them, says Rashi, this edus is midrabanan. Why? Memai, the Gemara says, midik tani reisha, Reb Shimon ben Maseira, heyed Reb Shimon Maseira, al efer chatos, shenaga hatame b'miksase, shetime es kulai. Now that has to be derabanan. Why? Why does the reisha have to be derabanan? Because if it comes from a pasuk, the pasuk of kaf achas, that you can't learn out from Kaf Achas. From Kaf Achas, you can only learn out that everything is considered one, legabe, something that goes on the Mizbeach, but the Efer of the Paraduma doesn't go on the Mizbeach. So since it doesn't go on the Mizbeach, you can't learn out of the Pasuk. So it must be a Dindar Abanon. So if the Efer Paraduma is a Dindar Abanon, and then Rabbi Kiva was Moisif, and Rabbi Kiva was Moisif Kodshim, so if he's Moisif, that means Kodshim is also a Dindar Abanon. So Rav Chanin cannot be correct. Rav Chanin says we learn it from a pasuk, but clearly Rabbi Kiva held it was drabanan. Amare Shlokish Mishambar Kapara Loi Nitzrucha Ela Lishiyare Mincha Da'iraisa. Really, we don't need to say this to Rabbi Akiva, because Rabbi Akiva, if he's talking about Kachim, it's Da'iraisa, but there are the Rabbanon Dika cases that we need Rabbi Akiva. For example, the remnant of the Mincha. The remnant of the Shiarim of the Mincha. Because mid-Dairaisa, the Gemara says, Dairaisa, Tzorach l'kli ha'kli mitzarfai. Kodshim, that needs a kli, of course, we have a drasha kafachas, that the kli is mitzarfit. But she'ein tzorach l'kli, the Shiari Mincha, meaning anything Rashi says that's similar that to the Ktoires and the Kaf, the Kli is Mitztaref. But saying that doesn't need a Kli, like the Shiori Mincha, which is eaten by the Kayin, so I would think saying that doesn't need a Kli, the Kli is not Mitztarefin. Shein Sarchle Kli, ain't Kli Mitztarefai. So Rabbi Kiva is made that even Ketoireh, even the Shiori Mincha, like the Soiles, or something that doesn't need a Kli, the Rabbanon were goyzer that the kli is mitzaref. V'as Rabbanon v'gozru the afagav the ain sarach l'kli, even if it doesn't need the kli mitzarfai, the kli joins it together. Okay, Bezus Hashem, we'll pick it up. We will pick it up next week. Tomorrow night is the shir gevaldige stuff. Tomorrow night's topic is going to be the Yom Tif of Shabbos Rosh Chodesh. Mamish, it's gonna be classic shir, unbelievable stuff, beautiful stuff. And then Thursday night, 9 o'clock, there's a share for the community. And 10 o'clock, we're having questions and answers. You could submit your questions anytime. Hope everybody's good.
Any questions?
You've just experienced another Torah class brought to you by TorahAnytime.com.